Hey, I'm Dean Blandino, and as a newly minted Detroit Lions fan, I always listen to Chris and Case on the Detroit Lions podcast.
Lions with it, second and goal from the 8, down 6, but on the move. Chris, working from the gun, looks out to the right, now checks out that Viking defense. Takes the snap, back to pass, looks right, got Case in the end zone, touchdown Detroit Lions! That's it, packs the bag, starts the plane, this game is over! How big is that? And now it's time to start the Detroit Lions podcast.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions podcast. Your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, two guys who run a 4 minute 40, Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions podcast. We're up to episode 150. This is the official Detroit Lions podcast for Reddit, and I am your dashing host, Chris. With me is my good friend and co-host, Case. How are you doing, my man?
Chris, we were testing out our video function because we're getting ready to do the live draft show in 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
And I just got to say, Chris, woof.
Hey, the ladies love it. That's all that matters, my friend. Today's show, Marky Mark is going to speak up on Matty P. He's got a couple of things that he wants to say. We got a big time discussion about the running back situation in Detroit. Well, how's it affect the draft? What about the free agents out there? There's still a lot of talk about in that area. And Case is finally not only going to take us around the world, but take us around the division. We got that and a whole lot more. It's a great show lined up this week. Case, you ready to go, my man?
It's like looking at the asshole of God.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, a couple of announcements. First, thanks for coming back. We appreciate you coming and listening to the show. We'd taken a little bit of break. It was the offseason, some downtime, and we got a little time in. I've been traveling like crazy, and we appreciate you guys listening to the show and coming back. A lot of stuff going on with the show now, and we're back in our regular seats and a regular cadence, and got a lot of stuff coming up, including the massive live draft party on the 26th of April. First round of the draft. Case and I, as he mentioned, so eloquently earlier, we're going to be doing our video. We'll have some video there. There's going to be a whole lot more than that. It's going to be a really awesome way to watch the draft and sharing it with fellow Lions fans. So if you're not going anywhere, if you're not doing the Riz's trip out in West Michigan, check us out. We'll be live. Come to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and you'll see the link right there. It'll be also on YouTube.com/DetroitLionsPodcast on our YouTube channel. You can check it out there as well. Great way to have fun with the party. We'll be having some drinks and enjoying it. It's still going to be relaxed and fun, and we'll take all of your calls live as usual. Quick change to the Patreon piece, and thanks to all the Patreon people who had the conversation and kind of gave us the freedom to do this. We're trimming this way down. We're going to take it down to a little something less. It's going to seem a little longer this week just because we're explaining it. But first, make sure to check us out and help us out on Patreon. Special thanks to Dylan from
Guam.
And of course, our very first donor, Mathis, and Brian B. from iProvail. iProvailBand.com. Check it out. He is a huge donor. We really appreciate everything he gives to the show. If you'd like to join him in helping to support the show, hit patreon.com/DetroitLionsPodcast, or you can go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on the Patreon link. Love everybody who signs up new, and don't forget, with as little as $1 a month, you can get access to some additional content that we put out on occasion. But also, I want to say thanks to all those that are Patreon donors already. It is a great conversation that we had about trimming this down and making this front part smaller starting next week. But you guys, head to toe, are just beautiful people, and we love you. Make sure to give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. Instead of sending Zuckerberg your nudes, send them to Case. He'll check them out for you and make sure that you're not somewhere on the dark web.
Woohoo!
Also, check us out on Twitter at DETLionsPodcast, DETLionsPodcast. It's the very best place to see Case.
Going 7 rounds deep.
That's right, with pictures of you while he searches the dark web. Rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you find us. Wherever you're looking, that's probably where we'll be, any old aggregator. But we love your reviews there. Let people know what you think of the show. Give us those 5-star ratings. And thank you very much to those folks that took a moment and rated us at their place of podcast aggregation. Give us a call via Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast. That's all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast. Or call us on the Lions line at 929-33-LIONS. It's 929-335-4667. If you leave us a message, you get a chance to hear yourself on the show.
Tighten your chin straps, kids. It's time to review This Week in Reddit.
All right, it's time to talk about all the fun and exciting things going down this week in Reddit. And as DMX says, Ziggy gonna get it. So Ziggy's gonna sign the franchise tag. It's all come around, and that's from Mount 10 Lion. He put that up in the subreddit, and well, that's good news, I think, right? Our season is now going to be better than 0-94.
I was super worried, Chris, but every single time any little thing happens, it gets blown out of proportion in the media, of course. And obviously, you know, I'm grateful that this particular one seemed to die down pretty quickly. But of course, there were rumors that, oh, maybe there's trouble. Maybe he's unhappy. Maybe he'll hold out. He was just out of the fucking country. So we have a long way to go as a fan base to learning to calm down about these kind of things. And you know, actually, I will say that, you know, as quickly as this particular one died down, as little pandemonium as I saw about it, maybe we're making a little progress. I don't know. But anyway, no legitimacy to any of the rumors that he wasn't going to sign up. He was just doing in Ghana things, which is great. Love him.
Ghana,
do that.
Ghanaian things. Ghanaian.
Right. Ghanaian things. Excuse me.
I'd love to.
Our conversation things. About him this time next year might be a lot different, given, you know, who knows what the hell is going to happen to him contractually, etc. But for the time being, we're paying him a lot of money. But there's both, you know, A, like some of that is what he's worth, and B, some of that is, you know, cost to. Because there aren't any other options. So, you know, it is what it is. And I'm certainly not going to complain about the franchise tag in this particular instance.
No, because we were set up for it in the cap, and we're not getting hurt like we did so many times under Mayhew when we had to do some of that stuff. But the other part is I don't know that we're even sure what we have in Ziggy. I think we know what he could be, but the last couple of years he's been hot and cold. And unfortunately, the injury piece, you know, availability is part of, you know, ability is part of that word is in availability. So
there, aren't a lot of 30-year-old players playing for as much of a prove it deal than Ziggy is this year. But
is he 30 or is he 26?
He will be here. Yeah, I don't. Let's not go down that particular rabbit hole.
We did it once. Okay, all right. So yeah, we got Ziggy back, and hopefully he has a banner year this year. And puts us in a terrible situation to have to sign him for loads of money next year. Mm-hmm. Moving on to the next one. Marky Mark, he wants to talk about Matty P, and he's got some pretty nice things to say. This is the kind of thing, Case, just to sort of set it up before we play it. This is the kind of thing you just hear it, and it really activates your almonds. I got to tell you.
Yeah. No matter how you feel about him as a like, because he's, you know, he's had his ups and his downs or whatever. No matter how you feel about him, right? Like the way he talks about sports, he's always been, you know, an honest fan. So it's, you know, to hear from a famous honest fan of a sport on a topic that matters to us is always interesting.
Yeah, and I would say even beyond honest, informed, well informed, right? I think He's in a good position just because of his fame. He has a little more access to some people and some things. Not that he's a super insider or anything, right?
But walked onto the Eagles.
Mm-hmm. He he's got some good knowledge. So anyway, let's hear what Marky Mark Wahlberg has to say.
You guys got a great head coach. with the Lions, Coach Patricia.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Did you like him in his time in New England?
No, loved.
Loved.
I mean, what a great defensive coordinator. You know, studying under Bill Belichick, I mean, you guys have what I think is the next Bill Belichick. He's the real deal. He's the real deal. Matt Stafford, I mean, you guys can go a long way.
That's big words coming from Mark Wahlberg.
Absolutely. No. Coach Patricia is... I'm telling you, always very low key. Didn't take a lot of credit, but a lot of credit deserved for a lot of the Patriots' success. So.
Thanks for doing that.
Yeah, I think that was the biggest loss for the Patriots. But you know, he's got to go out there and he's got to do his own thing. So you know what better city and state to be in? And I think going to have great success with him.
You know, so there's a couple things to unpack. Right, first
that was nice.
He loved. You know, what a great city and state. I mean, how rare is it for somebody? You know, first off, I mean, Michigan, Detroit is often considered flyover country, but to actually talk about what a great city and state Michigan is, he's obviously been here. He understands, he knows it. That's really good. That feels good to have a guy like that say that. But, you know, the fact like, love Matty P. I really like that. I think that's a huge, huge vote of confidence. He talked about Patricia coming here, and he kind of glided across Stafford's name, but he was ready to you know, say Matt Stafford too. Jeez, you guys are kill. I mean, you could sense it coming out there, ready to come out. And then when the conversation looked like it was over, he's like, no, I'm not done talking. I want to talk about this some more. He was passionate about it, and it's I don't know, as a longtime Lions fan, to have somebody like that who knows Matt Patricia probably better than we do, just from his time watching him, much less probably some access. That's really, really good to hear. That's good to hear as a fan.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you love Matty P too, Case?
I do. I want to love him a lot more than I already do. So
I don't know if I'm going to keep calling him Matty P, but it just rolls off the tongue right now. We'll see what happens. All right. A little quick note about the show. This happened a while ago, and this is kind of a mile mark. We're on our 150th episode, and we cracked over 500,000 downloads like a couple months ago.
I
mean, it's huge, man. 500,000 times people have downloaded this show, or well over that actually now. But
and only like a third of those are you and me.
I mean, you're right? With the repeat. Just a big thanks to all the listeners out there. You guys are awesome, and we appreciate all the support and the feedback to make the show what it is. Right now, this is a big number to me. I think in 150 episodes, we're getting close to the population of the city of Detroit in our download numbers. And that's pretty sexy, man. That's a lot of, wow. So thank you all. You guys are awesome. We love our listeners, and just wanted to give a quick shout out to all the folks who keep listening and downloading. Thank you very much. All right. So now we're going to move into a discussion about the running back world in the Detroit Lions. And Case, I know you wanted to set this up because you had a conversation in the subreddit about this in particular.
Well, I mean, this has been the conversation in the subreddit this offseason. I don't think that's a surprise to anybody who listens to us and visits the sub. It's probably, you know, most of you know that I don't live in Detroit. So my primary access, or in Michigan, so my primary access to Lions fans is the Lions subreddit. So I have to gauge, you know, what the fan conversation is based on what's going on there. And it has definitely been the number one conversation there. It was the number one conversation there probably for the last like 4 years in the off season. So like I was kind of hoping
this year
that we'd be able to avoid like letting it dominate everything we had to say. But at the same time, like it's so ubiquitous amongst the Lions fans right now that to not address it in depth would be a major disservice. So I think we're going to try to like break it down on a few different levels, talk about a few different players that, you know, are relevant to the discussion. I just want to start by, right now, one of the most popular picks for the Lions in the draft amongst fans would be Darius Geis at 20, the running back,
Ooh.
LSU. He is spectacular, and I do not want to... I don't want to make anybody think that I feel differently. He is spectacular. He has clearly, you know, as I have, you know, myself and everybody else has done film review, he has clearly made it obvious that he is the number two back in this draft. He would maybe, had he not been hurt, be in the argument for the top back. That might be a little bold, but I mean, had he not dealt with the injuries he did, he could be in that conversation. So let me say, A, I like him as a prospect. B, I will not be like throwing my laptop across the room if the Lions draft him at number 20. Now, this is a little bit of a departure from things that I have said in the past. I don't know, you know, because I very much so cut my teeth on serious football as the running back position was in major trouble in terms of like draft prospects,
right, and transition.
You look at, yeah,
that was a huge transition. There's no question about it. The changeover of the running back position through the 90s and 2000s was significant.
And I mean, between like 2008 and 2013 or 14, maybe even 15, geez, I'd have to look. I looked up the specifics earlier this week, and obviously I've forgotten some of them now. But there really was like very few, successful running backs that came out of the first round.
There's one.
I love Alexander.
But he wasn't a first rounder.
You had, you know, Adrian Peterson obviously lit the world on fire. Marshawn Lynch, you could say did, but he didn't do that until he went to Seattle. He did not light the world on fire when he was with the Bills. There were, you know, guys like Le'Veon Bell and LeSean McCoy who came out of the second round. So just in general, you were looking at a situation. And if you look at the, you know, even with these last, you know, couple years, if you look at the running backs in the NFL, a huge portion of the starting running backs and a huge portion of the productive running backs are not first round guys. Now, these last 2 years specifically have produced quite a few very talented guys. You've got, you know, Todd Gurley, you've got Melvin Gordon, you've got the Leonard Fournette and Ezekiel Elliott. And I actually, that might be going back 3 years on the Todd Gurley and Melvin Gordon. I'm trying to process here as I go. But the point is, like, all of a sudden there's been this, you know, surge. And the question for me comes, is this just like a correcting to the norm? Is this a new trend? Is it like just a, you know, a random statistical like fling? The answer to that is I don't know. My concern is that there are still some questions. If you look at long-term trends about running backs, there still are some concerns about the value of taking a running back in the first. Longevity, although I will say the question of longevity I have changed my mind a little bit on that, because the most important years of a rookie of a player's, you know, contract in terms of getting value based on talent are their rookie deal, when you're not paying them shit.
Yep.
So, like, if you get a running back who's good for 5 years, you still had good value out of them, even if you lose them after that to another team. And whereas other positions are much, you know, longer term development positions, running back is,
you think,
more or less
a
hit the ground running. Right, exactly. That's exactly it. Like a running back or a tight end or a cornerback, those are the kind of positions I worry about taking in the first round, just because, like, it takes so long for them to impact. By the time they've hit their stride, they're looking at their second contract, which could have been a real disaster for us, you know, with Ebron. Like, we could have ended up paying him a ton of money for barely any production on his rookie contract. That didn't end up happening. So in that sense, I'm also, you know, with it. When I'm looking at the grand scheme of things, as far as a team is concerned, I look at continuity, though, as a very important factor. And so that's where the concern with running backs goes for me. You can get some, like, so if you're ready to compete, and I know this is a fact that's been talked about a lot, if you are ready to go to a Super Bowl and the only thing you're missing is a running back, please do what you have to do to get that running back, because that's the thing that can put you over the edge. I mean, there aren't a lot of positions that can come into the NFL year one and impact a team quite the way a running back can. It's just that if I think that we are a couple years or 3 years, maybe like away from really being there, I worry that running back's already going to be spent by then. Mm-hmm. So that's my concern there. Do you want to weigh in on that?
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, I'm going to go straight to Matt Patricia already saying to the new team that we're better than 9-7. So that means we're ready for our running back, according to your logic.
If I agreed with him, and I'm hopeful. I don't want to make it sound like I'm not hopeful. I am very hopeful. I am extremely hopeful. I know that everybody thinks that I'm this downer, and I get that.
No,
I understand
Case,
why everybody
that's
thinks
the
that.
Thing.
But
everyone
I'm as hopeful
thinks,
as anybody. I really am.
Everyone thinks that you're painting the fence brown, straddling one post at a time and not going on either side.
I'm not going to say that's a mischaracterization either.
Anything I can do to make you look extreme, I'm going to throw out there.
I really do.
So anyway, Matt Patricia said, man, we're better than 9-7. You throw that running back in there and boom, we're done. Super Bowl.
Yeah. The other concern I have for this particular team, which makes me think that that's not where this team is at, is that for over the last 4 years, I think, we have come in. So you can cross references across different sources, which is what I prefer to do, because I don't like trying to rely on one of these things as like the Bible. As you know, one of those things happens to be PFF, another being Football Outsiders with their DVOAs. Bleacher Report 1000 has grown to a degree in my opinion of them over the last few years.
Since the podcast started, that's a huge leap for you, by the way.
Right. Well, the thing is, like I say, I would not take any one of those things as gospel. But when you look across the three of them, you can see a trend. And that trend is that we do not block well at all on the offensive line. Now I'll get into some caveats that could change this year, but my concern would be that we once again came in second to last this year in yards before contact.
So this is, but and I think, sorry to jump on you here, but the yep. One of the things I think that's maybe two of the things that are really, really going to give us visibility into the quality of this offensive line. There's a couple things happen. One, the injury, right? And I don't want to downplay
it. Yeah.
And right?
definitely, we all talk about it.
And that happens every team injury, but we were decimated on the offensive line. We were hurt on a number of fronts there. So first that, and then everyone's favorite Ron Prince, this guy,
yes.
I mean, I for all intents and purposes was trash, was just a dumpster fire wheeled around the Ford Field and Allen Park, wherever they wheel him, shit just went burning down. You couple that with Jim Caldwell, and it's just a trend. I'm not saying he was involved. I don't know how involved he was, but the trend on Jim Caldwell was every single offense that he's coordinated or been involved with has had a crappy run game, even with good running backs. So those things all put together make me think that our O-line is going to make a leap forward this year. Injury should not be as prevalent, right? We just play
well,
the statistics.
Hope.
Right? We'll play the odds, though. I mean, that should not be as much of an issue. It was an anomaly year last year. Getting rid of Ron Prince, things should be better. New head coach that's not, just those things alone would set an expectation of improvement. Remember, TJ Lang was really, really good in Green Bay, and he was meh in Detroit. Right.
Well, he was really, really good as a pass blocker. That's part of the thing.
You look at Rick Wagner, right? In Baltimore, he was good. And then he was when he got here. Right. I think we have a bunch of players that are individually very talented and could be a good line together, but they have to stay healthy and they need a good scheme and a good coach to help them work as a unit. And I think in that case, especially the way we're looking at tight ends, we don't have Eric Ebron. And I really just implore anyone to go to YouTube and look up Ebron Gives Up. You can search that on YouTube. Our channel, it's the top hit.
We've all seen it.
Yeah, it's the top hit. And you'll see it. And that's the man's personality right down to a T. That's all you need to know about Eric Ebron. And I've sent that to millions of Colts fans. And I love the deflation that happens after they see that. But we're getting tight ends that can block, and I just think that are we going to be elite? No. Are we going to be good? I think we're going to have a good offensive line. I think that alone is going to change the running situation. Now, is LeGarrette Blount and Ameer Abdullah, are those the guys? I don't know.
Well, we're going to get into
another
a little bit.
Question mark.
That's the
right?
next part of our. Yeah. That's the next part of our thing. But before we go there, I just want to say I agree 100% that those are all reasons for me to feel hopeful. But we're at the point now, like how many years? And this has been going on for a long time.
Since
there is a lot to prove, and so at this point, I need that proof before I buy in on the offensive line being significantly better in the run game. There was a misconception on my part, and I think I'd seen barfed up various times by beat writers or whatever, that we had an undersized line. I don't actually think that's true. We just have a line that has not done well individually or as a group in terms of run blocking overall. And while, again, like I say, I'm super hopeful that all the changes will affect that positively. I'm hopeful that health, I'm hopeful that the new coaches, if I want to write down a list of all the things that could go right, and I've done that in the past for the website, do a list of all the things that could go right for this team. That is 100% right near the top of the things that could go right to positively impact this team. But that is a huge thing that, like, I can't just assume that's going to happen. I can't just assume that all of a sudden this group that has not figured it out is going to figure it out. There's a lot of work to be done. And I don't, while there is some, track record for the guys who they brought in to try to help with that, that doesn't automatically translate to success. So they've
Nothing
got
does.
To prove it to me before I can fully buy in on that.
Yeah, no, it never
and if
translates
they don't,
directly to success, right? There's all kinds of other factors, but
yeah.
There were so many things working against us that it was like five things, right? Working against us last year.
Regressing to the mean,
three things. Work against
right.
us, and we're automatically better at that point, right? It was just a real cluster bomb of dumpster fire. I don't know how else to put it, but it was just really, really everything that possibly could have gone wrong did last year. And I think just on that, that just doesn't happen, in 2 years in a row. Can it? For sure. Sure, it could happen again, but it would be an absolute, like, lightning striking someone twice. Yeah, it happens, but it's really freaking rare.
I wish I thought it was more rare than I think it is with the Lions. I feel like that they've been struck by that same lightning on more than one occasion.
Well,
so
yeah, and Ron Prince goes back to 2015. So just so you know,
yeah.
All right, so let's
our bad running game goes back to
Barry.
So
but we've had some decent running backs. They've just been injured, right? I mean, there you go again.
They've been injured, and the offensive line has never been built towards that since then.
Yep.
So
yep. It's a different kind of world. You want to talk about Linehan a little bit?
Yeah. Well, in Linehan is in, like,
I think that's a good segue, right? Into, we're going to see Lions Linehan down in Dallas, aren't we?
Right. Right. and I mean, they lost Dez Bryant, and actually I'll talk about him a little bit in the around.
Are we
the gonna division
sign him?
Thing.
Should we sign him?
Probably not.
It's always the first question. Right?
I thought that was one of the more, like, why? I mean, if he came to Detroit, he'd be the presumed maybe three, maybe four. And I just, anybody who thinks that he'd be okay with that, like, I don't agree with you. So that's kind of a, let's set that aside. But no, Linehan in Detroit was great. The 1 year he had a really good roster, an offensive roster. Mm-hmm. You know, he had best healthy for maybe half the year. So, I mean, it wasn't like it was a complete roster, complete. But he had good health and good, you know, the best play our offensive line has seen in the last, I don't know how long. He had Stafford in his third year, which it was far from as good as Stafford is now. But it improved.
It was good Stafford.
Right. It was good Stafford. It was the deepest our receiving core had been. We had Calvin, obviously. We had a very good year out of Nate Burleson. And that was kind of the year where I think everybody, all of us were like, okay, yeah, he's a Lion for life kind of guy. Mm-hmm. We had a good rookie season out of Titus Young. Even Brandon Pettigrew, while he was dropping passes, was very productive. So like it was the best offense he had in Detroit. Now he's down in Dallas and he put a couple, you know, prolific offensive seasons up down there. But he's got Prescott, who's obviously had a rough year last year. I don't want to say Elliott's a question mark. He probably will come back strong. Their offensive line isn't as good as it was a few years ago. They've lost some players. Guys are getting older. They don't have nearly the receiving core they did. And that's not to say that Dez Bryant is like the all-star that he was at one point in time, but they just overall that receiving core is well below average now. And I don't think he's ever done well with mediocrity. Now, like, of course a guy is going to do better as an offensive coordinator with elite talent versus mediocre talent. So like, don't get me wrong there, but like, I don't think that Linehan has it in him to survive this myself. I think we'll see the end of Linehan's career in Dallas and possibly even Garrett, although for whatever reason he seems to like be unscathed by anything that happens there at the same time down in Dallas after this year. That's maybe a bold prediction from me, but like that's as bold as a prediction as you're probably going to get from me this offseason, is that I think Dallas is like on the way down and it's going to cost at least one coach his career there.
So going back to the flow chart, somebody's available, should we pick them? And generally the line goes straight to no. There was a lot of people, and there was times that it was us too, lamenting the loss of Linehan when we were looking at Joe Lombardi and
Linehan's better than Lombardi. I won't even pretend to argue that. Mm-hmm.
And even some of Cooter's performances out there, we were like, boy. And in the same week, you'd be like, remember Linehan? You'd look over there and see Dallas just smoking. So Linehan loses his job, right? Cooter has a mediocre year. Okay, we'll just say a mediocre year. What do you do? Do you want Linehan back?
If we are stacked, if we are truly stacked and we are ready to roll, bring him back. If we are not, I don't want to do that because I think it's just a bit of a poison in the well situation.
A recycle. Yeah. All right. No, I think that was good. All right. Let's move on. There's a couple of running backs out there to talk about. Well, let's first talk about CJ Anderson. Boy, this guy is really killing it. He's released by the Broncos. 4.1 yard per carry, average 1,000 yard season last year. Three touchdowns. This guy, I mean, this is it. This is, we were talking about it, right? We're at the point where all we need is a running back and we're ready for a Super mm-hmm. Bowl. Is this our signing? Is this the guy we want, Case?
Well, it might have been if he'd been released, you know, before free agency started, before we picked up Blunt. I think it's unlikely, highly unlikely now, although who knows, like if the Lions manage to miss out on a running back in the draft, then I would put it seriously back on the table as an option. But you're looking at a 27-year-old who has an extensive injury history, has 1 year over 1,000 rushing yards. He has a solid, you know, yards per average over his career. He's worked with offensive lines that have been poor pass blocking lines more so than they have been poor run blocking lines, which is actually kind of rare, I think, in the NFL that you get a line that is, you know, more often than not, I think lines are better at pass blocking than run blocking these days. But maybe I'm wrong about that. I don't know. Somebody correct me. His lines have been decent, you know, run blocking lines. I don't know. You know, I would have to really dig in on him like deep to know whether I thought he was a good fit for what we do. But I do know that he's a tough runner, and that is not a thing that I would have a problem with bringing to Detroit. I just don't think the timing of it, like when we picked up Blunt, the timing of that worked, you know, as well as it could have. You don't want to necessarily go too early on a guy and spend too much. You don't want to wait too long and get, you know, the trash. Every once in a while, a situation like this comes up where a guy like CJ Anderson gets dumped late unexpectedly, and you kind of wish maybe you had not done what you did, but you did what you did, and you have to, you know, sleep with it. So,
yeah, you know, that's so relevant now. I'll leave that one go. You're getting a pass, Casey.
You have go. No idea.
So, yeah, I mean, when I read off his stats, I was obviously overinflating here. I mean, when you're talking about he's got 5 yards per average, he's a change of case or change of pace back, so much so that he only had 16 carries 1 year and 30 the other. Again, injury prone. And the big one for me is he's 27. So here's where I think it's time for CJ and where it's not. And it alludes to what you said. If we pick up a kind of running back of the future in the draft, then I think we're fine. If we don't, I don't mind picking up CJ Anderson for this year, maybe on a prove it kind of a deal or something, just to kind of help get us over the hump. But he's not a long-term solution for us, and we do need a long-term solution. When I say long-term, I'm talking about 3 years. Is this the right year to pick up a running back is the question. How quickly are we going to get to the place where we get to utilize that running back's skills and abilities before he runs out of gas and we're back at, you know, square one of that position. So, mm-hmm. And it's interesting with the way Zeke Elliott's career is and where the way his timing fits for the Cowboys. That's going to be an interesting one to watch and see if his career winds up being squandered. I mean, he seems like a pretty tough guy. You look at him now and you feel like you're going to get 30 years of service out of him. Right. But
yep.
We'll see what happens. But speaking of drafting running backs, I think there's two schools of thought. There's one school that's saying right now, and there's the other school that ain't saying nothing, and they're hiding under a rock. And we're talking about the Reuben Foster draft choice.
I haven't seen anybody. I shouldn't say that. I've hardly seen anybody come out and say, "Boy, I was wrong about that."
No, they're props all hiding under any, rocks.
Props to anybody who did. Props to you if you did, because that, I will never say that I've never been wrong about anything. And I try when it's clear to come out and say, you know, I was wrong about that. Props to anybody who has come out and said, "Oh boy, I was wrong about that." So,
yeah, for sure. No, that's the thing though, right? This whole idea of talking about sports is the whole thing is predicated on saying, "I told you so." That's right. Where so many people get their ability to have an ego, or they see, "I called it," amongst 150 missed calls. Right? They got one. Yeah. You've got a career. You've got a career ahead of you because you called Marvin Jones last year. Doesn't matter what happens this year. You've got it nailed. But that's it, right? And now you get, the problem is when you miss this bad, when you get the big swing and the miss, you get, game over.
There you go. Did you go see Ready Player One? Is that what that?
No, that was from Donkey Kong. That was from.
Where, right, that's what I'm saying.
It's from what we were talking about in Donkey Kong Soup. A little leftover drop. So, no, evidently, we did better than picking Reuben Foster and got ourselves a nice middle linebacker who looks like he's growing.
Got a lot to prove, but he's got a high ceiling. I'm still pretty pleased with the thought.
He's there. Got a lot less to prove than Reuben Foster does.
That is very true. That is very true. If I had to pick one at this point, I know which one I'd pick.
Yeah, for sure. I'm feeling good on that pass, and that's a good one. That's a really good deal. So, Reuben Foster, you know, I mean, if and yeah, I guess you got to say allegedly and if and all that stuff. But if all that stuff's true, he's a real piece of shit, man. That's all I have to say on that. So glad he's not our piece of shit.
Yes.
A couple of quick things before we move on to the next piece. You know, you guys, we've got the site where we've got a lot of great content coming out from a number of great writers. Part of what we've kind of founded ourselves on is creating a place where some young writers and Redditors can find their voice. Guys who want to kind of make it in the world of sports writing, who want to see how they can do and try to work their way up. We provide a place for them to do that. And we've got a couple openings actually right now for a couple of writers. If you're in school for journalism or sports marketing or anything like that, and you want to use this opportunity to write, to talk about draft prospects, you want to talk about breaking down film, you want to do kind of beat writing work on the team, we've got some openings and we're looking for you to join. We have a process that we ask people to go through. I mean, we do want to have a minimum standard before people join us, but it's a great opportunity to get exposure and kind of find your voice and find your way through and write about this amazing Detroit Lions team and hang out with a really great bunch of guys, really. I mean, starting with me first, right, Case?
Like the asshole of God.
Yes, exactly like that. One angry spider staring at you. So, anyway, we're looking for some folks. And if you'd like to take part and get a shot, join us. It's an opportunity to do internships. We've had a couple of folks come through as interns as well and get college credit working for the site. So it's a great opportunity for young writers to get involved. If you'd like to, hit us up on the website, DetroitLionsPodcast.com. And click on that contact button up at the top and it'll send us an email and we'll get you up and on your way. All right. One other thing we need to talk about here before Case takes us around the world, around the division. We've talked about this a little bit, like a lot. Amazon Fanatics, SeatGeek, all those great places that support the show. But there's a new one, guys, gals, crew, everyone else. Under Armour. Under Armour is joining the team and we're working some stuff out with them, but same place you can find Amazon, Fanatics, SeatGeek, you'll be able to click on Under Armour as well. There'll be a link to them, take you straight to their site, and anything you buy, they give us a kickback. But we're working beyond just that kind of affiliate deal. We're working with them to do some good sponsorship. And I'm going to tell you, like we said before, if it isn't a good product, if it isn't a product or something that I use or Case uses that we can stand behind, we're not going to put them on the show as any kind of advertiser or sponsor. Under Armour makes great, great stuff. And it's funny because they contacted me back after I'd spent a couple hundred bucks in clothing and stuff from them. So I didn't get to use anything out of it. But what they are going to do as a upfront on this is we have a $75 Under Armour gift card that we're going to be giving away. So stay tuned. Starting in the live draft party is when the opportunities shall arise and you'll get the details, but $75 value. Case, that's not bad, is it?
It's not bad at all.
Yeah. Under Armour really stepping up, giving us some nice stuff to hand out to our listeners. And you'll get a chance to win that. In the meantime, head on over to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Click on the Under Armour link or on the shop link that you'll see on the site and go do your shopping and they give us a little kickback on what you buy. It's a great relationship. We want this relationship to grow. There's some really big opportunities that we've been discussing. So seriously, if you're thinking of any kind of performance clothing, head to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on the Under Armour link and go there and buy it and they'll let them know that way that you came from us and that helps us with the whole big shindig. All right. We're done talking about commercials. I appreciate you guys listening. We try to do just one a show. So we need to talk about something else. And it's something that Case hasn't done for a while. It's the one where he takes us
around the division.
Show us what you got when the motherfucking beats.
Oh, baby. You got what I need.
That's my favorite part.
All right.
What do you got?
So long overdue. Apparently you guys did one while I was gone 1 week, but long overdue for us to talk about the happenings in the division. There wasn't enough to go on from week to week to really make it a thing this off season. But we've compiled, as time has gone on, we've compiled all the, free agency stuff, all the small moves, all the coaching changes. So I'm just going to try to bring everybody up to date here on where everyone's at. And we can just take a little peek at what's happening.
A little peek under the skirt.
Absolutely.
A little run of the kimono.
There we go.
All right.
We are at the bottom with the Bears.
I'm not making a joke because I got complaints about it. See how you guys' feedback works? See?
Yep. He's growing. He's maturing.
My 13-year-old son is older than I am mentally. Let's just say he surpassed me with his last birthday.
So
I'm just listening to the parents. Go ahead.
We've got the Bears, and they have made some moves this offseason. They did sign Allen Robinson. Let me actually start with their coaching stuff. Okay, so Nagy. We talked about this already months ago, so I'm not going to go too far in depth it. But I am just going to say that this whole everybody, there was a thread on RNFL asking who the most hated, you know, head coach for each team was, and Bears fans almost unanimously were saying Mark Trestman.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And while I certainly don't want to say the Nagy's the same, like I don't know enough about him, there is some vague similarity to this sense of like he's a QB who never played in the NFL, played in other leagues, the you know, Arena Football League, and you know, had a whiz season last year. So in my eyes, they could be going down a similar path here. And maybe those
so don't answer done, yet like, is what you're saying.
Right. Like, so I know that Bears fans are excited, but Bears fans are always excited. Every single off season for the last 4 years, despite the fact that Bears have been terrible, there's some degree of hype. There was a thread in RNFL the other day, just like, are the Bears a dark horse team for the playoffs? Like, this happens every year with this team.
Yes, and they're a dark horse because they're not going to do it. The dark horse is like not expected. Exactly.
I mean, stranger things have happened. Like, I'm a realist. You all know I'm a realist. Stranger things have happened. I won't be like I'm not going to bet my life savings that the Bears are going to suck with Nagy and that Nagy's going to be out in 3 years. I'm not going to do that. But there's a lot of like not certain, you know, aspect to this where we have to say, okay, this dude has never done this before. This is way out of his wheelhouse. Let's see if there's any, you know, anything he can get out of this.
You're saying if you had to put your Miss Cleo hat on, that's what you would be saying.
I would bet against. I would say there's a less than 50% chance that this pans out to be like their franchise saving head coach. That's so awesome. That's my thought. Now, looking at their whole free agency and other things that have happened, one of the big things that happened was that the Saints grabbed Cameron Meredith from them. He's obviously struggled in his short time in Chicago with injuries, but when he was on the field, he was a big, fast, good, really good receiver. Like he in some ways, you could say he had some similarities to Galladay in terms of his potential. He had that kind of like he certainly wasn't there yet, but he had that number one type potential. Mm-hmm. And now he's gone. So that kind of puts the onus back on Kevin White, which is like not only has he struggled with injuries, but he has also struggled when he's on the field kind of situation. They did pick up Allen Robinson for their receiving core, which is a big get for them. I don't know that I think much about Trubisky's deep ball. So like that's and that's that largely based on a lack of evidence. That's not necessarily to say he can't do it. It's just that he barely did it. And so like, you know, a few plays where he had all day to like wind up and toss down the field aren't going to convince me that he's got what it takes to, you know, be accurate consistently down the field. So there's so much to prove for the passing game. And they did upgrade theoretically their receiving core with Allen Robinson. But it isn't like he hasn't had his issues over the last couple of years either. So they're still like. And I will be very shocked if Nagy is able to take that group and turn them into an elite group. Now, the one thing they got going for him, of course, is their running backs. They've got Howard and Cohen. And while I think Cohen is maybe he's very overrated by Bears fans, I think he's also overrated by NFL fans. But I also think that Theo Riddick is overrated. So like he's overrated in the same sense. Send me your letters. I don't care. sorry.
That's so soon. Me NFL at SoSumi NFL on Twitter.
they lost Josh Sitton at guard, which is an interesting departure on their offensive line. They did sign Trey Burton, who was one of the guys that the Lions had, you know, looked at tight end. He's a weird situation. Like, he's an all, like everything, like, he got a big contract based on potential. So that could be either a big success or like a huge flame out kind of situation. So that'll be an interesting to see. And I don't pretend to say that, like, I know what's going to happen there, but like, he's the dude who came from the Eagles and had a big, you know, postseason and made a big splash. And then, you know, he was their third tight end. And then all of a sudden he was making big plays in the playoffs. And, but like, that's a one hit wonder kind of situation. You just always have to ask, is that consistent or not? And I don't know, he might be great, but like, I'm we'll have to see. Anyway, Taylor Gabriel, they picked up from the Falcons. I've seen some good plays from him over the years, but he is not a savior kind of player either. So that doesn't do it for me too much. Aaron Lynch, the defensive end, now that's a guy who, that like, if you get a 25-year-old with a low, you know, cost, high upside, low cost, that's the kind of player I really like. So I actually think that's a good signing for them. That said, he's, you know, he's another player that he hasn't done much in the last couple of years. So red flags with character and stuff. So we'll see how that works out. They're changing up their kicker situation with Cody Parker. We'll see how that all plays out. Them not being able to kick consistently has been one of their downfalls, and I'm not sure that's going to end this year.
No.
I think that's about all I have to say about them. They lost Pernell McPhee, but he wasn't consistent enough in terms of being healthy to really help them that much. They obviously, they've got an interesting situation with their quarterback stuff, with Mark Sanchez being their backup, and now he's been suspended, but that probably won't come into play.
Does that just prove to you right there that performance enhancing drugs don't work?
Right.
I mean, that's the case. They open, shut, done.
Yep. Obviously, obviously they lost Christian Jones to us, which I think was a really good signing by us. I think that he is an underrated player who is going to, he's much cheaper than the Whitehead he's replacing.
Sorry.
That was maybe the worst insult.
Was that on purpose or did that just come out?
It was, as I was saying it, I was recognizing it. So
that's fair. That was a good one. That was good. That was good.
I think that Whitehead got a lot more money for something that Christian Jones can give us is basically the concept there. That's about all I have to say about them. I don't, you know, there are certainly reasons to think that it's possible that they would improve themselves to like an 8-8 team this year. But that's the ceiling, in my opinion. There's absolutely no way they go above that, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
All right.
Up to the Packers, who, we'll start off with the coaching stuff again.
I want to let me start off just because this very well could change. When they talk about the dark horse being the Bears, right? They could be the dark horse to be unseated as the bottom of the division by the Packers. And if you want to talk to somebody who's absolutely confident about that, you need to talk to Jeff Risden. He is absolutely certain that the Green Bay Packers are going to be the bottom of the division, just terrible, terrible team. And some of the folks that are kind of on that boat with him believe that we might not see a whole lot of Aaron Rodgers anymore as a result. He may move on to someone else. So I'll just kind of plant that little.
That is my dream scenario.
Yeah, me too.
That doesn't mean I think it's going to come true.
No.
I'll get into that in a sec here. Well, I'll start with their coaching stuff. You have to
believe a little bit because enough of our nightmares have come true.
Well, there are reasons that I agree with him in terms of potential. I'm going to get into that when I get to their roster.
Okay.
But that's okay. As far as their coaching situation is concerned, they've moved some guys around. They got rid of some guys. McCarthy is back in a larger role again, which this seems to fluctuate on a year-to-year basis where he takes a bigger role, he gives up a big role, he takes a bigger role, he gives up a big role. None of it ever seems to fix the fundamental flaws in the organization. And certainly, if we're looking at one of the things that hasn't fixed the team, is when he takes a bigger role. And that's what he's done. Now, what they've done, what's interesting about the coaching staff over there is that they've not done away with necessarily, but they've gone towards this system of run game coordinator, pass game coordinator, run game coordinator, pass game coordinator on both the offense and defense. And I think that's something that we're likely to see as a trend going forward. That's not to say that I think they're going to have, you know, that the Packers this particular year are going to like blow the league, you know, away because they adopted this system or anything. But we've also been talking about it with the Lions, with run game coordinator, et cetera. Well, they've made it somewhat official. I don't know exactly how official it is, but they have four guys and each one is, you know, designated to one of those four things. And that's a unique thing, I think, that we're seeing happening in the league right now. And I could see that very much so going forward being like it, not necessarily doing away entirely with offensive and defensive coordinators, but putting those systems on a more level playing field where you have two guys who are the offensive assistants and two guys who are the defensive assistants and both, you know, primarily taking care of their, you know, role. Now, obviously, you're going to want to have crossover, especially on defense where, you know, any given play could be a run or a pass. But the idea is interesting.
It does a couple of things. I'm going to put on my HR hat. I don't work in HR, but I deal with them enough that I know what's going on. You know, succession planning, backups. To have two guys in those roles, if worse comes to worse, you lose one during the year, something happens, you have to fire one, whatever, you have a person that immediately can step into that role, right? Because they're absolutely familiar with it. So that helps. It adds the breadth and the depth at the coaching position. It brings more minds to the table to think more creatively. I think that's one of the things that made Belichick so successful was the creativity that he's used to approach the game, you know, lining up ineligible receivers split out is something, you know, it's incredible. It seems so simple, but you know, I can't remember anyone doing it prior to him. He rethinks the game. Having more minds is probably a good thing. The other side of it is, and this is probably both good and bad, you could probably analyze tendencies of the coaches on the sideline and figure out, is it going to be a run or a pass play? Not for sure, maybe. But by the same token, you have more crap to analyze during that short clock time between plays and try to figure out what the other team is doing. So do you try to make that part of your repertoire? And suddenly now you're adding more coaches to, you know, to watch and try to figure stuff out. So
yeah,
it does add an interesting wrinkle to the game, a wrinkle that's not on the field. And it's kind of like one of those behind the scenes things. So I think it's an interesting way to approach it. And I'd like to see the other downside is more mouths, you know, more brains is great, but more mouths can often detract
in the short amount of time. I can agree with that. It all depends on the system. Like if you've got two guys, you know, on any given side of the ball, if you've got, you know, your run game coordinator and pass game coordinator who don't see eye to eye at all, that could create major problems for a team. So you have to be careful. But I do think it's something we may see more of going forward is all.
Yep, for sure.
Looking at the talent in terms of their offseason, the Packers had one of their more interesting offseasons in recent history. Obviously, I think everybody knows not to abuse the word, but the meme of the Packers, you know, not participating in free agency. But they picked up a few guys in free agency who are bigger names. And in fact, I think Muhammad Wilkerson, the defensive end, defensive tackle, who will probably play defensive end in their 3-4 they got him on a very decent looking deal. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but like it was kind of surprising at how little money they gave him when you would think that he might have been able to cash in big somewhere. So that's, you know, that's always disappointing to see a division rival get a guy cheaper than he might have been able to go overall. But the other that he isn't, but even as good as he has been at times, he hasn't necessarily been 100% consistent either. So it'll be an interesting study on to see how he does. He isn't. Yeah, he's still only 28. So
he
I mean, as
29 during the season, though.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. He probably has a couple years of prime play left before he, you know, statistically is likely to start declining. So we'll see what happens there. The other one, the other huge one being Jimmy Graham, who they way overpaid for the 31-year-old tight end.
Yeah, they obviously are not used to playing in free agency.
Right.
That was not a muscle memory move there, signing Jimmy Graham for that kind of cash.
No, I can see him and Rodgers connecting for touchdowns. Well, like, yeah, I won't be surprised, at least. Right, exactly. So I can see him. I wouldn't be shocked if he got 10 touchdowns this year, but I will be surprised if he's like consistently assisting, you know, the movement of the ball, you know. So like, it's great to, you know, get a specialized weapon like that. But if teams figure out that like in the red zone, he's their only guy they're going to, then it'll be a whole different issue for them. They way overpaid for him is the only thing that makes me happy about it. Like, I wish they hadn't got him at all, but like, at least they had to shell out a ton of money for him.
Well, can I throw a scenario out there for you with the Jimmy Graham thing, how it may change the Packers and Rodgers game. And we talked about it when we talked about the pass interference rule changing. You know, Rodgers is just so well known for winging the ball down the field and hoping for a PI. If he's got Jimmy Graham, he may check down, that may change the way he plays the ball, because he's got Jimmy Graham and the expectation will be that JD will get those first downs. And I have to say, there's probably a lower percentage of Jimmy Graham getting those first downs on check downs than there is of him getting the PI pulled, at least at Lambeau Field, right?
I mean, yeah.
So that may work in our favor.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can totally see that being a realistic scenario. The last guy they signed with a name that anybody might know is Tre'Mon Williams. He's the 35-year-old cornerback from the Cardinals, and he actually had a really good year last year, but again, 35 years old. So, they have an obvious hole. They have holes in the secondary. And this is like a, hopefully, you know, I assume this for them is a hopeful 1 year type patch to that.
Yeah.
Whether or not he'll be able to transition and play at a high level, I don't know. Obviously we had Rasheen Mathis come in late in his career and play well in Detroit. And Newman played well in Minnesota. Is still playing, although he's not playing as well as he was when he first got there. You know, he's not necessarily somebody that we need to, you know, have a great deal of fear for. One of the things, like, I think our receivers are built right now to take advantage of them, because we've got two good outside receivers in Galladay and Jones that I think could take advantage of, you know, if you're going to trot out a 35-year-old against one of these guys, you're going to get burned.
Sure.
So that's my thought on that. They did lose a major player, and I think maybe this offsets any of the gains they may have made, and that's Morgan Burnett, their safety, the 29-year-old safety who went to the Steelers. There is now a gaping hole in their secondary where he was. They lost, what's the safety I wanted us to sign last year from them who went to the Bills? Why can't I say his name?
Amika Hyde.
Yes, Mika Hyde. That's the one. That's what I'm thinking of. So back-to-back years now, Mika Hyde and Burnett. They have HaHa Glinton Dix, who has surprised me, because I didn't really think he was going to turn into that much. But he's good, but they still have a gaping hole and no depth at the position. So I think they're in a little bit of trouble. They're still in major trouble in their secondary going forward. That is a huge deal, and I won't be surprised if they spend significant draft capital on the secondary, but there isn't, I don't have a lot of faith in DBs in general in terms of rookies. Even if Kevin King moves along a little bit this year, I think they're still in trouble big time. So they're going to be a team that's going to be in shootouts again, as is per usual for them. So expect high scoring games. Aaron Rodgers is probably a good fantasy pick, because they're going to be you know, having to score a ton of points. So that's my thought there. Obviously, they lost Jordy Nelson. That is an end of an era thing. As I say that, they got connected to Dez Bryant. And here's an interesting and funny thing. And there is a little bit of schadenfreude in this. But Dez Bryant came out and said, nah, I don't think I'm going to go to the Packers. There's too much like history there.
It wouldn't have been a catch. It wouldn't have been a catch if I played for the Packers.
Yeah, exactly. He basically said, nah. And what's actually, and so like, well, there's a little bit of schadenfreude there, you know, for us, like saying, yeah, fuck you, Packers. Like, I think that's really rare to see a player in Dez Bryant's position saying something like that about a franchise like the Packers that obviously has an elite quarterback and has had plenty of success, even if this last year didn't go.
Let me ask you this. If Dez goes to the Packers, is he their wide receiver one?
No, Adams is there.
Oh, yeah. So he'd be number two.
But he would be number two. But, I mean, I have a hard time seeing him, like as I said early in the show, I have a hard time seeing him going anywhere where he isn't the one or the 1B. You know what I mean?
Right. But he would be our number three, I think that speaks to our wide receiving core.
Absolutely, it does. Absolutely, it does.
I just wanted to tie that back to what you said earlier.
if like in a hypothetical universe, I'd love to come in for him to come to the Lions and be Anquan Boldin, but he's just not the kind of guy who would do that.
No, he's just not good for a locker room, and I wouldn't want him here in Patricia's first year. I'd rather see the team we have with the people we pick and the moves we'd make grow into some kind of cohesive unit. And in this year, and then I think next year you could add a Dez type of personality and people would take care of things. But there's too much Foreman going on right now and Norman going on right now before you can get this this whole kind of personality problem going on. And that's a reason I think that Ebron being gone is probably a good thing, because I don't think he would be helping in the locker room this year at all. So
no, I don't either. And I agree with that
position with the guys we got, and we don't need Dez. As much as he could probably do some good, we don't need that.
Yeah, I agree with that. Okay, so that's it for the Packers. That's all I have to say. If I predict, like I as I said, you know, the loss of Morgan Burnett, the weakness in their secondary, question marks in other positions. I can see what Jeff Risden is after. Getting a full year out of Aaron Rodgers makes it hard for me to like truly believe that. But
I'm not, because he's from Cleveland.
Yeah, totally. but I mean, I could see it. I mean, I can see a realistic path to where that's true, to where that team absolutely sucks.
Oh yeah, for sure. So for sure, he's not out of bounds with that claim, and it'll be fun to see how that goes. But are you painting posts right now, or are you gonna stand on you think that the Bears are worse than the Packers this year?
I think the Packers will come in around 8, 9, 10 wins, which is where I think the Lions will be. So I think that's where that competition will be. I think both teams are likely to be low key wild card
fences.
Yeah.
Okay, move on. I thought I could get like a little bit of the Cleveland hate going and have you pick one and the other, and then we could kind of follow that throughout the year. But no, you're not committing.
No, not yet. Not yet.
Pulling
not
out
yet.
A dentist over here. could take away your anesthesia. All right. Not what else you got here, big guy?
You can't trick me.
What else do you got for us?
Okay, so moving on, we got the Vikings, and I'm going to try not to bring everybody down. I'm going to maybe first I should talk about the things that could go wrong. They've got a lot of change happening. They're off a new offensive coordinator, John
Joe Lombardi?
Yeah, I'm trying to pronounce it. I'm not sure I've ever heard it said out loud. So.
Just say their new offensive coordinator, Joe Lombardi.
Their new offensive coordinator, John DeFilippo. I have no idea if that's right.
You're not Italian. You're definitely not Italian.
he came from the Browns, where obviously he had a great deal of success. But no, he was the he was the quarterback's coach for the Eagles in 2016, 2017, which is where like his you know rise started, and he's considered one of the like rising stars. Now, having said that, I remember Joe Lombardi being one of the rising stars of the young coaching elite in the NFL and how that worked out for us. So I hope that's how that turns out for the Vikings. But the bottom line is like it's a big change. Whether or not we'll see a huge shift in their actual offensive plan is a good question. But bringing Kirk Cousins in adds a whole other wrinkle into that, in that he is a much more bold passer than what they've been dealing with. And I shouldn't actually say that 100%, because Case Keenum is also like he was willing to throw it down the field. He wasn't a great quarterback, but he was willing to, you know, get it down the field when like there was, you know, he was willing to take those risks. And I think Kirk Cousins is also like that. But overall, they've had a conservative offensive and a conservative offensive plan. And it'll be interesting to see if that continues. And if it doesn't continue, is that offense built well for that? Because I think that offense is built perfectly for that conservative offensive plan. And if they try to stay away from it, there's, you know, potential potholes in the road for them. While I want to say they're going to completely fall apart, I think the best thing we can probably hope for is that they're just going to be an average offense. And I think that's probably not a terribly unrealistic thing. Obviously, they've got Cook back this year. Whether or not he'll be Cook, you know, whether or not he'll have the flashes he had, like in a very short amount of time, I should add, as a rookie, when he gets back here, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to. And my guess is that they'll be a slightly above average offense. The problem, of course, is that they still have this, what they've done. And if you look at the contracts they've given out, and actually, I don't know the details of this most recent one they gave out. They gave an extension to Eric Kendricks that came out the day we are recording this, which I'll get into in just a sec. But unfortunately, the issue is that their defense is every bit as dominant, if not better, than it was in terms of on paper last year. They haven't lost anything. Now, one of the things that happened for that defense, major things that happened, and I think everybody needs to take note of this again, and I'll say this is a reason for like that things could go wrong for them. They had incredible luck in terms of health on their defense last year. They had a few starters sit out a few games. They have really solid depth in terms of their rotation on the defensive line, but their depth on the rest of the defense and their depth beyond those rotational guys on defensive line is actually really not good at all. In theory, obviously, a lot of those guys we haven't seen play much, so they could be better than we have any idea. But in theory, so if they struggle with injuries this year more than they did last year, which if you subscribe to like, return to the mean thing, which to some degree I do, like I think it's a likely scenario. I don't necessarily think it's a 100% scenario. I think it's a likely thing that they'll have a few more injuries. They might lose a couple starters this year. Most teams lose a couple starters on either side of the ball at least. And so if they did, you know, if they were to lose Harrison Smith, if they were to lose Xavier Rhodes or Eric Kendricks or Anthony Barr or any of the Everson Griffin, things could, you know, they could drop from being like an elite defense to just being a like above average defense. And then maybe if they only had an average offense and an above average defense, then that's not a team that necessarily wins this division. So like those are the things to keep an eye on, like watch to see what happens in terms of their injuries before the season, early in the season. There have been so many years when we've thought that, we didn't have a chance, and then another team lost a player like Aaron Rodgers or whoever,
and we couldn't capitalize.
And we couldn't capitalize, but all of a sudden it looked like we had a chance. This could be another one of those years.
But this time we got our capital letters ready, right?
So, yeah. They picked up Sheldon Richardson, defensive tackle from the Seahawks on a one-year deal. They got him on a pretty good deal, which makes me wonder how they were able to get him on a good deal. It makes me wonder why his value wasn't higher and why he wasn't able to get a more long-term situation figured out. He's only 27 years old, so that's a question mark for me. But if he works out for them, that's a big deal. They re-signed Eric Kendricks to a long-term 5-year contract, which sucks because I think he's a really good and underrated player. In some ways, I would compare his rise, you know, a little bit later into his rookie contract to DeAndre Levy. He's getting a couple million more per year than DeAndre Levy got from us on his second contract. But that's mostly, you know, a function of the cap at this date and then it was a few years ago. The good thing there is that they didn't get to underpay him. Because we've seen them underpay guys like Thielen and Sheldon Richardson, for that matter, and a few other players where Harrison Smith is probably not getting the money that he deserves. I think he's still like a top 5, top 7 paid safety. But given when his contract came up, he should have been maybe the number 1 paid safety, and they managed to get away with it because he was under the radar. And I'm tired of them getting away with getting, you know, that stuff under the radar. Well, they didn't get that this time because the Eric Kendricks is, you know, maybe a top 5 4-3 inside linebacker, and they had to pay him like one. So that's good, which puts pressure on this next season and the season after, as they have to re-sign Diggs and Barr and Griffin, and I don't remember who else, but they have definitely put themselves in a situation where it's a win now situation. And you can see how, if any part of this doesn't work out, if Kirk Cousins does not work out in Minnesota, the whole thing is blown up and they start from scratch.
I got a sense, and look, there's nothing to back this up, right? This is just a gut feeling. So I'll be able to say I told you so later and hide behind never, you know, having said it otherwise. But I have this, there's for some reason in my gut, I have this sense that Kirk Cousins is not going to have a great year. I don't know why.
I don't know why, but I actually agree with you there. Yeah, right? I don't understand what it is.
Maybe
but
it's fandom or hope or blind stupidity. I don't know, but I just don't feel like.
If I want to point at one thing or two things, it's that I think he's susceptible to pressure, and that the Vikings offensive line is not as good as I thought it was. They did not have a good second half of this last year. That I think, you know, Riley Reiff is a very mediocre left tackle, as much as I appreciate his time here. I think that Rimmers is not a very good right tackle. And aside from Elfline, I don't think that highly of their interior either, out of, what did I say? Out of Pat Elfline, out of, Middle Earth. their pass protection, I think, is the main thing. He's also the anti-clutch quarterback,
right?
Which I think maybe is an overrated thing that some people lean too much on. But at the same time, in those big decision moments, he certainly hasn't had a track record of coming through.
All right. So I think that's going to do it for around the division, right, Case?
Yeah, that's it. Wow, that's all I got.
That was a big one this week. You were saving up.
My throat hurts.
Well, maybe it'll be from talking next time. Remember, this show needs your involvement. Use the comments in the subreddit to give your feedback. We love having that feedback. It helps us just put a better product together for you guys. Also, don't forget about us on Patreon. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. It's patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, or just go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on that Patreon link. Anything you can spare on a monthly basis, $1, $10, $1 million, whatever you've got, we appreciate it. It helps, you know, propel the show forward, helps us pay for some of this really cool stuff we're doing on the draft show, and a lot of the other stuff we've got going on. So, join the Patreon crew. Get some of that extra stuff that we do for those guys. You'll enjoy it. Also, check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. Every time we crack a joke, you're going to hear Zuckerberg laughing in the background. It's a great time. Also, make sure to follow us on Twitter at DETLionsPodcast. It's DETLionsPodcast. It's the very best place to see Case.
Oh, in all kinds of ways.
That's right. Give us a call on Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or ring us up on the Lions line, 929-33-LIONS. It's 929-335-4667. And be sure to go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and subscribe to the podcast so Case and I can come in your little box automatically. And you can wake up with all kinds of tears of regret. Thank you for tuning in. And we're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. It's your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags, start the plane. This show is over.
Hey, Dean Blandino here, and I can tell you unequivocally that call was 100% wrong.
Yeah, can I get a cocktail?